Chapter 4. Who Pays the Nebraska State Personal Income Tax Before and After State Reform? By Sally Wallace Moore and Bruce L. Riddle. Introduction. As a result of 1986 federal income tax reform, the state of Nebraska would have lost about 12% of its personal income tax revenue if it retained the 19% state tax rate on federal income tax liability in 1987. To maintain constant revenue, the state tax rate would have had to increase to 21.6%. Instead, the state legislature passed a bill to eliminate coupling and increase revenue. The reform tax system raises as much revenue as would a coupled system with a state tax rate of 22.4%. Using a large sample of individual income tax returns, this chapter examines the implications for tax burdens by income class of both federal reform with a coupled system and of the new income tax system passed by the state legislature. State personal income tax burdens are estimated for Nebraska taxpayers under three different tax regimes: the federal reform with no change in the 19% state tax rate, a scheme that raises the state tax rate to obtain the same revenue as before federal reform, and the new state income tax reform. The changes in state personal income tax revenue under each tax regime are also reported. We find that tax burdens are less progressive under the state tax reform than under the coupled system because the state reform lowers both personal exemptions and the top marginal tax rate. However, we also find that the state reform implies more equitable tax burdens within each income decile due to lower standard deductions and personal exemptions and to fewer marginal tax rates. Section 1 describes Nebraska's state personal income tax structure. It also contains a summary of the federal tax reform and the state's tax reform. Section 2 discusses the data that we use to perform the tax burden analysis. It also describes the data sources and the sampling techniques that are used to derive a representative sample. The third section reports the calculation of tax burdens. It provides a description of the methods used to measure tax burdens, a comparison of the tax burden estimates for the pre-federal reform, a revenue-neutral system coupled to the federal tax liability, and the state tax reform. An estimate of the tax revenues under each scheme is also reported. The section concludes with an analysis of horizontal equity. Section 4 contains revenue and burden estimates for alternative standard deductions and personal exemptions under the state reform. The results provide a benchmark for analyzing the effects of changes in portions of the state tax reform scheme. The conclusion reiterates the major findings of the study and includes recommendations for further tax reform. The appendices contain technical information regarding data sampling and programming of the simulations. Background of the state personal income tax. History. Since the adoption of its state income tax in 1968, Nebraska has been among the states most closely coupled to the federal personal income tax scheme. Nebraska tax liability is a flat percentage of a taxpayer's federal liability. The coupling rate, percentage of federal liability, had been set by the State Board of Equalization and Assessment until 1984. Since then, the rate-setting responsibility has fallen on the state legislature. The coupling rate has ranged from 10 to 20%. It can be set annually to prevent a budget deficit. The rate just prior to state tax reform was 19%. Due to the close coupling of the state's personal income tax to the federal system, any change in the federal system that affects the calculation of federal liability may be countered by a change in the state tax rate. The Economic Recovery Act of 1981 presents the first large effect on Nebraska's income tax revenues. The decrease in the tax base resulted in an increase in the coupling rate from 15% to 18% between 1981 and 1982. A change in the coupling rate does not necessarily imply a large increase in tax liability, and in this case it illustrates that Nebraska's coupling necessitates a response to federal changes. The Federal Tax Reform Act of 1986 again has a large potential effect on the state's income tax revenues. Table 4.1 outlines the major changes of the federal reform. the change in the federal tax liability would have led to income tax revenue losses for Nebraska of between 8-16%. From the aggregate revenue losses, it is apparent that the sources of the revenue losses are due to lower marginal tax rates and increased personal exemptions and standard deductions. These losses outweigh the revenue gains from reduction in itemized deductions and preference items. In 1986, the state legislature decided to decouple the State Personal Income Tax Reform Bill, LB 773, which was signed into law in May 1987 and takes effect on January 1, 1988, represents a compromise among a number of different decoupling schemes that were under consideration. State tax reform. Table 4.2 outlines the calculation of the Nebraska State Personal Income Tax for 1987. LB 773 begins with federal adjusted gross income and calculates Nebraska taxable income as follows in 1987. From federal adjusted gross income deduct, interest and dividends received that are included in federal AGI but are state-exempt, expenses incurred in the production of interest or dividends that are included in the federal AGI, state income tax refund, and income or loss of a subchapter S corporation, S-corp, that is not derived from Nebraska sources. To federal AGI add, interest or dividends that are excluded from federal AGI but are taxable by the state, income from a regulated investment company that is not state-exempt, and net operating loss. These calculations yield Nebraska's adjusted gross income. Nebraska's taxable income is derived by deducting the state's personal exemptions and federal itemized deductions, excluding state and local income taxes paid, or a state standard deduction from Nebraska's adjusted gross income. The Nebraska tax rate is applied to Nebraska's adjusted gross income. Table 4.2 lists the derivation of Nebraska AGI and taxable income and specifies Nebraska's exemptions, deductions, and rates. Finally, Nebraska's tax liability is diminished by a state credit for income taxes paid to another state, a carryover credit for renewable energy source systems, and a community betterment credit. Tax liability is increased by a percentage of the federal alternative minimum tax and a tax on lump sum disbursements of retirement funds. Non-residents are taxed on income from Nebraska sources only. Table 4.2 also provides a summary of the Nebraska State Personal Income Tax calculation. Data. This section contains information regarding the data and problems associated with the data. The policy-oriented reader may skip this section without loss of continuity. Appendix 4A provides much greater detail regarding the data. The state individual income tax data is subject to strict confidentiality requirements, so we could not receive the data for individual returns. We received only summary information from the Department of Revenue. Since this information was grouped by adjusted gross income and filing status, it did not provide adequate information to simulate the tax reform. Also, we could not receive the summary information for groups with less than 10 observations due to confidentiality requirements. In summary, the state-owned data is not entirely adequate for this type of policy research. We chose a sample from the IRS Individual Tax Model file that consists of sample returns from Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. We use the state summary information as a guide for sampling. Our sample and the state information show very similar patterns of distribution of income and taxes paid. The sample from the IRS is used in the simulations for this chapter. State income tax burdens measurement. There are many studies of tax burden or incidence. Calculating tax burdens involves determining who ultimately pays a tax. Following accepted practice, our estimates are based on the assumption that the entire personal income tax burden is borne by the taxpayer, thus precluding any shifting of the tax to other economic agents. The effective tax rate measures tax burden. The effective rate is calculated as the tax liability before state tax credits as a percentage of comprehensive income. The effective rate therefore captures tax payments as a portion of the ability of taxpayers to pay. we calculate effective tax rates for income deciles of residents under 1987 and 1991 provisions of the federal and state tax reforms using the 1984 data. We also report the effective tax rate for taxpayers in the top 5% and top 1% of the income distribution. See Appendix 4B for assumptions used in these simulations. There are two complications that should be mentioned. The first is that we would like to measure tax burdens including tax credits, but cannot due to the lack of data. Secondly, the federal and state tax reforms treat passive and active loss from royalties, S-Corp, partnerships, estates, and trusts differently. The variation in treatment of passive and active loss leads to different revenue estimates, but similar tax burden distributions. We simulate the tax regimes under two separate assumptions, passive losses and active losses. The pre-reform tax liability before credits was calculated by multiplying federal tax liability before credits by 19%. The federal and state reforms were simulated on the observations in the three-state sample, as described above. Appendix 4B contains a list of the assumptions used in the programs and the reform provisions that could not be accommodated. Comprehensive income. Comprehensive income represents ability to pay. As pointed out by FARS, 1980, there has been much debate regarding the measurement of this type of income. Ideally, income should include money income, imputed income, from such items as rent earned on owner-occupied housing, and both realized and unrealized appreciation of assets. Due to a lack of data, our income measure leaves out imputed income, unreported money income, and unrealized appreciation of assets, but it includes the items widely employed in previous studies. For purposes of this analysis, comprehensive income is calculated as follows: wages and salaries, plus social security payments, unemployment compensation, capital gains, reported supplemental income from rents, royalties, estates, trusts, and S-Corp supplemental income from business and farm, or loss, interest and dividends, alimony received, pensions, IRA distributions, and annuities minus alimony paid. The data from the tax model file were used to calculate comprehensive income for each sample return. Comparison of tax revenues under alternative schemes. In this section, the burden results for the three-state sample under the 1987 and 1991 provisions assuming active losses are presented. Appendix 4C contains the burden results under the 1987 and 1991 provisions given passive loss for the sample. This appendix also contains revenue estimates for non-residents under the same schemes. In all cases, the revenue estimates are made using data from 1984. Therefore, the revenue estimates are not equivalent to those using 1986 data. The 1984 data, however, yield accurate estimates regarding the percentage changes in revenue and the distribution of the tax burden under various tax reforms. The burden is compared under three different tax schemes: the 1984 structure, in the absence of federal reform, the federal reform, with coupling at a rate that maintains pre-reform revenue, and the federal reform plus the state proposed reform with its higher revenue yield. We then simulate a coupled system that yields the same revenue as the state reform. Table 4.3 shows the change in revenue using the 1987 and 1991 provisions of the law, assuming active losses, under the various tax schemes using the 1984 data. Under the federal reform, a 19% coupling rate would lead to a total revenue loss of 12.2% under the 1987 tax provision and 13.3% loss under the 1991 tax provisions. The larger loss under the 1991 tax provisions is due to the relative magnitude of the increases in the standard deduction and personal exemptions that outweigh the elimination interest deductions. The loss in revenue under the 1987 and 1991 tax provisions necessitates a corresponding revenue neutral coupling rate of 21.6% and 21.8% respectively. Revenues are higher under the state reform than they are under the pre-reform system. For purposes of comparing tax burdens before and after the Nebraska state reform, we calculated the state tax rate that would yield the same revenue under a coupled system as is raised with the state reform. Comparison of the distribution of tax burdens under alternative schemes. Tables 4 and 5 contain the tax burden estimates for the 1987 and 1991 tax provisions under the active loss assumption, respectively. Concentrating on the results for the 1987 provisions, Table 4-4 shows that each of the four tax schemes is progressive, that is, the percent of taxes paid as a proportion of income increases as income increases. Comparisons of tax burdens will be made between systems that yield the same revenue. To maintain revenue after federal tax reform, under a coupled system, the state tax rate must increase from 19% to 21.6% of federal tax liability. The system that is coupled to the federal reform at a 21.6% state tax rate, column 4 of table 4-4, leads to an increased tax burden for the highest income earners when compared to the pre-reform system, column 3 of table 4-4. This demonstrates that although the highest marginal tax rates have decreased under federal reform, the decrease in itemized deductions and other preference items implies that effective tax burdens would have increased for the upper income taxpayers and decreased for lower income taxpayers if the state had remained coupled to federal tax liability. The state reform increases revenues from the income tax. To maintain revenue neutrality between the state reform and the coupled tax systems, a 22.4% coupling rate is necessary for federal tax provisions in 1987 and a 23.1% coupling rate for 1991 provisions. From columns 5 and 6 of table 4-4 we see that the state reform is less progressive than the coupled system. In this case, taxpayers in the first through ninth decile see mild increases in their tax burdens, while relative tax burdens decrease for taxpayers in the top decile as well as for those among the top 5% and top 1% of income taxpayers. The same general results are obtained for 1991 provisions reported in Table 4-5. The system which is coupled at a revenue-neutral rate, 21.8%, to the pre-federal reform system shows an increase in progressivity compared to the pre-federal reform system, column 3 of table 4-5. The taxpayers in the first through ninth deciles have a lower effective tax rate under the system coupled to the federal reform at a 21.8% state tax rate than in the pre-federal reform case. Comparing the state reform and the revenue-neutral coupled system with the same revenue, 23.1% state tax rate, we again witness a less progressive system under the state reform, columns 5 and 6 of table 4-5. The effective tax rates are higher under the state reform than the coupled system for taxpayers with comprehensive income of $41,710 or less. Horizontal equity. When studying tax burdens, it is useful to examine horizontal as well as vertical equity. Horizontal equity may be described as the equal treatment of persons with equal ability to pay taxes. The concept of equal is by no means a universal one. It can mean people with the same total income or the same taxable income. But even if this issue is resolved, income ranges, such as deciles, alone do not accurately describe equal ability to pay, which will certainly depend on family size, age of household members, and consumption patterns. For example, the following list is an outline of the provisions of the state and federal tax reform which lead to different treatment of taxpayers with the same income. Federal and state tax provisions that affect tax liabilities for taxpayers with similar comprehensive income. Personal exemptions. The number of family members significantly alters tax payments due to the amount of personal exemption they are allowed. Capital gains loss cap. Losses that are above the $3,000 allowed against income create inequities, because these losses decrease the ability to pay but are not taken out of taxable income. Specification of active versus passive losses, as it applies to supplemental income. In 1991, passive losses are allowed a 0% deduction, although they represent a decrease in the ability to pay. allowances for IRAs and KEO payments, some taxpayers are able to shelter income from tax by investing in certain retirement plans. Such action can significantly reduce tax liability. The marriage penalty: a married couple suffers a lower standard deduction and higher average tax rates than single people with similar income. Minimum allowances for medical and business expenses. At the margin, this provision is extremely biased, because it allows people with expenses over 7.5% of AGI to deduct. However, those with less than 7.5% cannot deduct such expenses. The difference of, at the extreme, $1 of medical expenses decreases tax liability by an amount equal to the taxpayer's marginal tax rate. Tax schedule: within a particular income group, taxpayers may face different marginal tax rates, which drastically affect the burden borne by similar taxpayers. Although the federal tax reform has decreased the number of special exemptions and the incentive to shelter income, and has moved toward the equal treatment of different types of income, it has not totally solved TLIE problem of unequal treatment of persons with the same ability to pay. These differences exist under the 1987 and 1991 federal provisions, as well as under the state reform. A common way to measure horizontal equity is to compare coefficients of variation, CV, in the effective tax rate for a particular income group among alternative tax schemes. In this case, we measure CV as the standard deviation of the effective tax rate divided by the average effective tax rate for a particular income group. A comparison of the CV across tax systems describes relative differences in horizontal equity. Table 4.6 presents the coefficients of variation by income decile for the state reform and the state coupled system under the 1987 and 1991 provisions for assuming active losses. In all cases, horizontal equity is increased under state tax reform compared to the coupled system. Moreover, CVR is smaller as income increases under all of the schemes. DILS is due to a more homogeneity among taxpayers as income increases. For example, the treatment of loss has a large impact on the horizontal equity of each system. Large capital losses place otherwise high income taxpayers in lower income brackets when total income is calculated, but without full deductibility of losses, these taxpayers may have higher taxable income and suffer higher effective tax rates. The difference in the amount of loss deductible in 1987, 65% for certain supplemental income losses, and 1991, 0% for certain supplemental income losses, widens the gap between comprehensive and taxable income. This change in the treatment of losses is the reason for the increased CV between 1987 and 1991 for both the coupled and state reforms at the lower end of the income scale. The increase in personal exemptions also adds to this increase in CV between 1987 and 1991, more so for the coupled system than the state system. The difference between comprehensive and taxable income increases more for a larger family than for a small family due to the increase in personal exemptions. The increase in standard deductions for the coupled system also increases the divergence more for married couples and unmarried heads of household. The changes in the tax rates also affect the changes in equity between 1987 and 1991 for the coupled system. The state system maintains the same marginal tax rates. The decrease in the number of rates decreases the marginal impact of an increase in income. This lowers the differential treatment of income levels, which are very close in magnitude. In 1987, capital gains are taxed at a maximum of 28%, while they are taxed at the full rates in 1991. This change leads to more equitable treatment within income groups and is most likely to affect upper income earners. Indeed, the CV for upper income taxpayers declines between 1987 and 1991. In general, the changes in the federal tax provisions between 1987 and 1991 lead to an increase in the CV of the effective tax rates for the state reform and the coupled system. The magnitude of the difference is affected by the amount of change in the tax rates, standard deductions, and personal exemptions. The differences in tax rates, standard deductions, and personal exemptions between the state reform system and the coupled system leads to higher CV under the coupled system. Tax burdens under alternative personal exemptions and standard deductions. The final simulations were done using various levels of personal exemptions and standard deductions under the provisions of the state reform for 1987 and 1991. These simulations give insight into the effects of changing the exemptions and deductions. For the 1987 and 1991 provisions, we calculated revenues before credits under the state reform, assuming active losses under the following schemes, using our three state sample standard deductions equal to the federal standard deductions, personal exemptions equal to the federal personal exemptions, standard deductions equal to the state standard deductions with a double deduction for elderly and slash or blind. Table 4.7 presents the revenue implications of these various exemptions and deductions. The table contains the state reform revenue calculated under the state's personal exemptions and standard deduction provisions for comparison purposes. The table shows that the increase in personal exemptions has the largest impact on revenues, leading to a decrease in revenues of 11.3% in 1987 and 12.0% in 1991. In 1987, there is very little difference between the state and federal standard deductions. We therefore see a little difference in revenues when federal standard deductions are substituted for the state standard deductions under the 1987 provisions. Doubling the standard deduction for the elderly and blind decreases revenues slightly. The relatively small number of taxpayers taking these deductions to the total tax-paying population is reflected in the small decrease in revenues before credits. Tables 4.8 and 4.9 present the effective tax rates under these alternatives for residents by population decile with revenue-neutral tax rates. They demonstrate that tax burdens under all of the alternative exemptions and deductions are reduced for taxpayers in the lowest 8 income deciles, as the highest income earners benefit relatively less from the increased exemptions and deductions. The decreases are more pronounced under the 1991 provisions due to larger changes in the deductions and exemptions. An alternative to increasing all marginal tax rates to make up revenue losses from increased standard deductions and exemptions utilizes an additional tax bracket. By adjusting the marginal rate for the new bracket to account for the revenue loss, the lower income earners can unambiguously benefit from the increased standard deductions and exemptions. We added the fifth bracket as follows: filing status married filing joint married filing separate single head of household fifth tax bracket less than $90,000 less than $45,000 less than $54,000 in the case of using federal personal exemptions. The marginal rate for this new bracket is 13.4% in 1987 and 13% in 1991, while the marginal rates for the other four brackets are not changed. These rates maintain the same revenue as produced under the state reform. This is a large increase in the marginal tax rate for these upper-income earners, which may not be politically feasible. If the state reform made use of federal standard deductions, the marginal rate for the new highest bracket is 6.2% in 1987 and 7.6% in 1991, which again maintains revenues as under the state reform with state standard deductions, and no change in the marginal tax rates for the other brackets. The 6.2% and 7.6% marginal rates are not too high to be a consideration for the state. Using doubled state deductions for the elderly and blind could be accomplished by imposing a marginal rate of 6.9% in 1987 and 7% in 1991 for the highest tax bracket. This would maintain revenue at the same level as under the state reform. Tables 4.10 and 4.11 contain the tax burdens under these alternatives in 1987 and 1991. The tables show that the tax burdens decrease for all but the highest income earners when the federal personal exemptions and standard deductions are used in conjunction with an additional tax bracket. This exercise clearly demonstrates the trade-off available to the state. Increases in standard deductions and personal exemptions come at a cost of decreased revenues or increasing tax rates to maintain revenues. If lower revenues are adopted, these burden results should be revised to take into account the effect of a decrease in benefits from public expenditures. At the close of the most recent legislative session, the Nebraska State Legislature altered the state standard deductions for the state personal income tax. The state standard deductions, beginning retroactively on January 1, 1988, are equal to the federal standard deductions. They are as follows: filing status single head of household married, joint, married, separate, standard deduction $3,000, $4,400, $5,000, $2,500. A special set of standard deductions apply to the elderly and blind. For single taxpayers, unmarried head of household, single, and married filing separate, an additional $750 standard deduction applies for each special circumstance, elderly or blind. In other words, a single taxpayer, that is elderly and blind, gains an extra standard deduction of $1,500. For married individuals, the extra standard deduction of $1,500. For married individuals, the extra standard deduction is $600 for each special circumstance for each person. Therefore, for a married couple who are both elderly and blind, the extra standard deduction is $2,400. Under 1988 provisions of the federal and Nebraska state individual income tax using the 1988 standard deductions, I estimate individual income tax revenues from residents or non-residents for the state to be $23,735,400. This is a decrease of 3.7% for 1988 compared to the former decoupled state personal income tax. In what follows, we present the distribution of 1988 Nebraska personal income tax burden under three different tax schemes: the state income tax coupled to the 1988 federal personal income tax, the decoupled state personal income before the recent legislation increasing the standard deductions to federal levels, and the new decoupled state personal income tax with federal standard deductions. Table 412 presents estimates of the effective tax rates for the state income tax under the three tax systems listed above. The tax rates under the first two tax systems are adjusted so that each system produces the same revenue for Nebraska residents as under the new tax system. The FRRST tax reform increased the tax burdens in the second through ninth income deciles and lowered the burdens in the 10th decile compared to the coupled system. The recent tax reform reduced the burden of persons in the 9th and 10th income deciles compared to the four-state decoupled system. However, it is still the case that under the new tax system, burdens increased in the 2nd through 9th income deciles and were reduced in the 10th income deciles compared to the former coupled income tax system. In fact, the burden estimates for each income decile under the recent reform are about midway between those under the coupled system and the 1987 decoupled state income tax system. The rationale behind this finding is that a larger portion of persons taking the standard deduction are in the lower income deciles, and increasing the standard deduction is more likely to reduce their tax burdens. Also, a larger portion of elderly and blind taxpayers are located in the lower income deciles. Conclusion. This chapter presented the initial estimates of the state personal income tax burdens. We have outlined the data, sampling, and tax burden techniques used. We also examined alternative tax treatments of standard deductions and personal exemptions. The results of our simulations show that under the assumption of active losses, the federal tax reform requires a 21.6% state coupling rate under 1987 provisions and 21.8% in 1991 to yield pre-reform state personal income tax revenues. A system that remained coupled after federal reform would decrease effective tax rates for taxpayers in the first through ninth deciles compared to the state's tax reform. The tax burden under the state reform is shifted slightly to the lower income in comparison with a system that is coupled to the federal reform. In the case of both the federal and state reforms, the highest marginal tax rate has been lowered, and the number of tax rates has decreased. At the same time, different types of income are treated more equally than was the case before reform. these changes serve to decrease the number of distortions created by a tax system. In effect, the system is benefited by increased efficiency. The trade-off that results from these reforms is clear. The distribution of the tax burden may be shifted to the high or low income end depending upon the reform used. Increased deductions for the elderly and blind tend to decrease the burden for taxpayers in the first through seventh income deciles if rates are increased to maintain revenues. If revenues are allowed to fall, then, under the assumption that a dollar of tax savings is worth more to an individual than a dollar of services, such a change would be welcomed by the elderly. This change can be obtained at relatively low revenue cost. Increases in the standard deduction also benefit the lower income people more than the upper income taxpayers. An alternative approach, which the legislature adopted by 1988, is to increase the standard deduction to the federal level. This change reduces 1988 revenues by 3.7%, but reduces the income tax burdens on persons in the second through eighth income deciles, and increases them for persons in the ninth and tenth income deciles. The burden estimates for each income decile under the recent reform are about midway between those under the coupled tax system and the 1987 decoupled state income tax system.